It's the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Happy Monday. Number 34 for us here. The Baywide run is now at 52.6 million. That's more than a million over where it was at this point last year and about 4 million over the preseason forecast. The Nooshiak is winding down and all rivers except Togiak have reached or exceeded their escapement goals. It is Monday, July 20th. I'm your host, Izzy Ross. Coming up tonight, reports of illegal fishing in the Wood River prompted Fish and Game to make an unusual choice, closing the Wood River Special Harvest Area to commercial fishing.
I don't think I've ever closed a fishery because of illegal fishing. It's certainly one of the things that we're required to do as managers is to maintain an orderly fishery. I just felt like altogether, to me, it added up to a reason to justify closing the fishery.
A longtime Ugashik set netter breaks down the peaks and valleys of this season in that district and her apprehension about finances as they start to think about pulling their nets out of the water.
You know, fishermen in remote areas, you know, it's hard for us to even get on the phone, much less the internet. And how are we supposed to apply for these loans?
And we're back with another testimony from the 2 Minutes a Day in the Bay project. We hear from a Bristol Bay fisherwoman who's also in Ugashik and fishes out of Pilot Point.
We have a responsibility to look out for each other, help each other, stand up for each other when the time comes. We can't do this without processor workers. We can't do this without local peoples. We can't do this without Indigenous peoples.
All that and more on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
We're going to get started with the numbers on this fine, fettled day. At 52.6 million, the total Bayride run is now almost 4 million above the preseason forecast. It's also more than a million fish over where it was at this point last year. Almost half of the total run is in the Naknek-Quijack. At 23 million fish, that district has seen the largest run in the bay, followed by Igigik at 13.9 million fish. All rivers except Togiak have reached or exceeded their escapement goals. The Nooshiak district is slowing down. The total run there is at 12.2 million, now past the preseason forecast of 12 million fish. The fleet caught 96,000 fish yesterday. There were an average of around 300 sockeye per drift delivery. The district's total catch is now at 8.6 million, about a million short of the preseason forecasted harvest. The cumulative catch so far was hauled in 68% by the drift fleet, 25% by set netters, and 3.5% by Igushik set netters. Escapement across the district was 48,500 yesterday for a total of 3.6 million. Breaking that down by river system, the Nooshiak River sonar counted 4,400 fish escaping upriver yesterday. That brings the Nooshiak's total escapement to 1.2 million, about 300,000 more than the upper end escapement goal of 900,000. The Wood River Tower counted 29,200 fish yesterday. Total escapement there is now 2.1 million, also about 300,000 over the upper end escapement goal of 1.8 million. In the Igushik, 14,900 fish escaped yesterday for a total escapement of 261,700 fish, right in the middle of the escapement goal range for that river. No harvest from Togiak yesterday. The total harvest so far is at 161,400, short of the preseason forecast of 690,000 sockeye. That's also about a quarter of what it was at this point last year when the harvest was approaching 480,000. Escapement in Togiak was 5,850, bringing the season total to 63,900, about halfway to the lower end escapement goal of 120,000. The total run there is 225,300, just a quarter of the forecasted run of 880,000. The total run in the Naknek-Quijack is now at 23 million fish, the largest run in the bay, and 4 million over its preseason forecast. The fleet hauled in 281,000 fish yesterday. Average drift delivery was about 480 fish. The total catch there has surpassed the preseason projection of 12.3 million as well. It is now at 12.8 million, also the largest in the bay. That total catch was harvested 81% by drifters, 11% by knack-neck set netters, and 7% by Quijack set netters. Across the district, 110,000 fish escaped yesterday, bringing the total to 10.1 million fish. Breaking that mammoth down by river escapement, in the Alagnac River, 44,200 fish escaped yesterday for a total of 2.1 million. That is 10 times the minimum escapement goal for that river of 210,000 sockeye. Daily escapement up the Quijack River came in at 32,300, bringing the season total to 3.9 million, pushing toward the middle of the river's escapement goal range, between 2 and 10 million. In the Naknek, daily escapement came to 33,500. A total of 4 million fish have escaped up the Naknek so far, double the upper-end escapement goal of 2 million. The Igigik fleet caught 267,000 fish yesterday, with an average drift delivery of around 800, the highest average delivery in the bay. Igigik's harvest is the second largest at 11.5 million. It's 4 million over the district's pre-season harvest projection. The drift fleet brought in 86% of that cumulative harvest, 14% were brought in by set netters, 17,500 fish were counted escaping up the river yesterday, bringing the total escapement in the district to 2.3 million, continuing past the upper end escapement goal range of 2 million. Igigik's total run is now at 13.9 million fish, exceeding the preseason forecast of 10.2 million sockeye by about 3.5 million. Ugashik's total run is now at 3.1 million, still below the forecasted run of 4.5 million fish. The fleet in Ugashik caught 143,000 fish yesterday. Average drift delivery was 750 sockeye, bringing the total harvest to 1.8 million, a little over half of the forecasted available harvest of 3.3 million fish. The drift fleet brought in 77% of that cumulative catch, and set netters brought in 23% of the total catch. 85,500 fish escaped yesterday, bringing the season total escapement to 1.3 million, just under the upper end escapement goal range of 1.4 million. Over at the Chignik Weir, 5,624 sockeye passed through the weir yesterday. As of 9 a.m. this morning, 1,632 sockeye had escaped upriver. The season total for sockeye is now at 187,874. That is far below the preseason escapement goal of between 570 and 850,000 fish. The early run total is at 133,151. The late run total is 54,723. 36 Chinook passed through the weir yesterday, and 36 more have passed through the weir as of 9 a.m. this morning. The season total for Chinook up the Chignik is at 729. The majority of sockeye harvest from Area M is coming from the North Peninsula Fleet, which has hauled in 1.1 million fish to date. Chinook on the North Peninsula are at 1,100. The vast majority of the pink harvest is from the South Peninsula Fleet, which brought in 1.9 million pinks. The fleet there also brought in 496,400 sockeye. Chinook are at 16,400. Coho harvest is at 17,700. And Chum are at 570,000. Overall, the Area M harvest for sockeye is at 1.6 million, the Chinook harvest is at 17,500, and pinks are at 1.9 million. Coho catch is at 17,800, and the Chum harvest is at 574,600. Hang in there, we'll be right back on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from GCI, offering connectivity to communities around the state with the latest smartphones and internet packages. A full list of services and store locations at gci.com.
A resident of the Bristol Bay Borough has tested positive for COVID-19. This is the first resident of the borough to test positive for the disease. The person is asymptomatic, according to the Chemai Community Health Center, which announced the case on Sunday. The state has tested the person's immediate family and close contacts. A staff member of the Chimay Community Health Center in Naknek also tested positive for COVID-19. Chimay announced the case Friday. The clinic says the person is not a resident of the Bristol Bay Borough and is currently in isolation. Chimay says that the person tested positive during the clinic's weekly testing of staff members as part of its COVID-19 mitigation plan. Clinic Director Mary Swain says contact tracing has been completed. The Chimay Clinic is extending the opportunity for anyone who visited the clinic between July 14th and July 16th to be tested for COVID-19. Walk-up testing is available Monday through Friday from 1 to 3 p.m. You can also call the clinic at 907-246-6155. And we're back on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on this lovely July 20th. Reports of illegal fishing in the Wood River prompted Fish and Game to close the Wood River Special Harvest Area to commercial fishing. KDLG's Sage Smiley got the lowdown about the closure from management biologist Tim Sands.
First of all, what prompted you to close the Wood River Special Harvest Area?
Well, so we got some complaints from fishermen about illegal fishing. The troopers also said that they were seeing a lot of illegal fishing up there. Basically, there's two main violations, people fishing in closed waters around the McClung River, and that was especially early on. Then I think most people kind of figured that that was closed and stopped fishing there. But then the towing, and so the rule is you're not allowed to use mechanical power to maintain the same geographic location. And what people do in the Wood River is they tow parallel to the current. So they'll tow into the current, whichever way the current's going, depending on the tide, and they'll stay right at the line. And this makes it so that fishermen who want to legally drift fish can't, because that area is blocked off by these boats that are maintaining their same location by towing. It didn't happen just at the line. We saw other cases where boats were grounding as well, and like towing onto the beach and holding their position on the beach with the, you know, bow of the boat rammed up on the beach, kind of. So there's a few different kinds of violations going on, but many instances was my understanding. And one of the requirements is to maintain an orderly fishery. And we felt like, especially with a lot of the extra troopers that come here for the summer to help patrol leaving, we couldn't maintain the Wood River fishing and the district fishing and still have an orderly fishery. We were also concerned about McClung kings. There's a king run that goes up to McClung. It's a little bit later. We wanted to reduce any kind of harvest on those. So there were some biological reasons as well as the illegal fishing. You know, historically, the Nishigak Advisory Committee has been very opposed to the illegal fishing in the Wood River. They're the ones that got the regulation passed for the towing. And so we considered that in the whole decision as well, that it's not popular with the locals when there's illegal fishing up there. So we weighed a bunch of different factors and decided that the best thing to do was close that fishing because it was not orderly. There wasn't a lot of harvest happening up there anymore. There was some, but you know, the run's definitely winding down.
So it sounds like illegal fishing does happen in the Wood River Special Harvest Area in other years. So was it the combination of those other factors that sort of pushed it over the edge then?
Well, you know, when the set netters are up there, it's not that big of an issue because the set netters are set net. And there's no issues with towing or things like that. The drift fleet is different in that regard. And the drift fleet hasn't fished up there very often, at least under the provision of harvesting surplus sockeye.
We've also had some fishermen say to us that they don't remember the last time the Wood River Special Harvest Area closed like this. Do you know the last time that it was closed because of illegal fishing or some other factor that wasn't just the end of the season or a drop-off of harvest in the region?
I don't think I've ever closed a fishery because of illegal fishing, but it's certainly something that can be done. I talked about this with my boss's boss, and we discussed it. We sent out a warning to processors. We have a way to communicate with processors, and we sent out a note on Saturday saying, look, we're seeing all this illegal fishing. We're concerned about it. We want it to stop. If it doesn't stop, our only other option is to close the fishery, basically. You know, I will say that we almost did this in Togiak a couple of years ago when there were five boats caught fishing outside the Kaluka section. We considered closing fishing over there, but we didn't. But it's certainly one of the things that we're required to do as managers is to maintain an orderly fishery. I just felt like with everything else added on, the concern for McClung Kings, the reduction, the dropping catch, the escapements dropping off in the Wood River, none of those by itself would have prompted me to close it, but you throw in the illegal fishing and altogether, to me, it added up to a reason to justify closing the fishery.
Makes sense. Is there anything else you want to say about this? Is this the kind of thing you might reverse in a bit?
No, we would typically have closed that in the next couple of days anyway because of the lack, the reduction in harvest, the escapements dropping off. So normally it would have maybe stayed open until the 25th, but no, we won't reopen it. It's closed.
All right. Thanks so much for your time.
All right. Anytime.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, a look at Ugashik, where set netter Katie Birch manages the Red Dog site off of Pilot Point.
I've been fishing this little darn patch of mud for, I think, over 35 years.
The peak of fishing has passed there, and many Ugashik fishers are wrapping up. Looking back over the summer, Birch says the compressed run this season isn't anything new for the district.
We're kind of used to that, but we did have some good fishing time before the peak, which was nice. And then now we're just going to, you know, see what we can scratch up after it's over here.
Birch says the limits processors imposed during that peak a couple weeks ago did impact some of their big days. Still, they went into the season expecting some adjustments.
The fact that everybody has less people, right, from processors to fishermen, we just, I think everybody did the best they could. And, you know, it could have been a lot worse with limits. I think we were all going into the season with some pretty big expectations about limits, knowing we'd have them.
Heading into the season, crews like the Red Dog worked to develop health and safety protocols to keep COVID-19 out of Pilot Point and Ugashik. There is no shore-based processor in Ugashik District. Fishermen deliver to tenders or the floating processor in the bay. Set netters also have camps outside the village. That all made it easier to put protocols in place to keep residents and fishermen safe. Still, they did make a lot of changes to their normal operations. They changed their transportation route so they don't have to drive through the village at all. They consolidated their mail runs, and the village developed a well for fishermen to get water. They also got their fuel from the tank farm instead of the village.
A lot of us got medevac insurance, so if someone got ill, we didn't have to go to the clinic here if we could help it. Yeah, we're just really taking it seriously. We're all our camps flew quarantine flags, and we're staying away from each other, which is really hard not to visit, but we're not visiting, and we're not going on tenders, and we're trying to be really careful.
People across the seafood industry have been impacted by COVID-19 financially as well. Processors have had to implement health and safety protocols that were quite expensive. Looking toward the end of the season, Birch thinks while the companies will apply for financial assistance, they will also pass additional expenses on to fishermen.
They are also going to apply for loans and get help. But basically, they're going to look at their bottom line and make sure they make money, and they're just going to lower our price. So where do the fishermen go? Like, how do we pass our expenses on, you know? How do we get paid back for our limit days and the fact that we had crew for 2 weeks quarantining in Homer before they came out and all these additional expenses, charter, you know, I paid $4,000 just for one airplane ride.
Birch says to offset those costs, she's applying for the Paycheck Protection Program, but she says it has been extremely difficult to do so before the deadline, which is August 8th.
You cannot apply for this loan without internet. You know, we've been fishing and I didn't get back to my email. It's literally impossible to do. It's like I didn't get back to the internet in time, so now it's timed out. So now all my Small Business Association stuff, the file just got canceled because I couldn't do it in time. So, you know, fishermen in remote areas, you know, it's hard for us to even get on the phone, much less the internet. And how are we supposed to apply for these loans?
Birch says she hopes government officials will work to provide additional assistance to fishermen. Finally, this evening, we have our 2 or 4 minutes a day in the bay today. Today's testimony comes from a fisherwoman, Maya Nishkin. She is a set netter who also fishes in Ugashik out of Pilot Point. Before we play the testimony, we would like to remind listeners that these are personal opinions that do not reflect the views of KDLG necessarily.
My name is Maya Nishkin, and I'm a fisherwoman in Bristol Bay. My partner and I bought a set net operation 3 years ago, the same one that him and his brother have been crewing for 4 and 7 years. We fish at a Pilot Point, traditional lands of the Supiak, for a month and a half of the summer. We spend our winters in Kinnick, Alaska, on traditional lands of the Dena'ina Athabascan peoples. For me, fishing is about spending time on the water, having a physical exchange of labor for salmon, feeling empowered to do what men typically think a woman can't do, and this year, it's also become about learning the stories of the people whose land we live on for the summer. To me, this is a vital part of finding a connection to the land, water, salmon, and also to commercial fishing. Sukpiak people stewarded this land and waters that we fish on for thousands of years before white people came along, and that's the reason that the salmon are here now. The salmon that we connect with, that give us our livelihoods, that give us the ability to get paid to do what we love. We are all so incredibly lucky to be a part of this fishery. I am eternally grateful to the foresight of the older generations of Alaska Native people of Bristol Bay, because they are the reason we are able to be here now. I also see the destruction that we inflict now on this special place, and it makes me sad. I see trash floating in the water, I hear gunshots as seals eat their last salmon, I see whales washed up on shore, hundreds of dead birds struggling and floating into our nets, thousands of dead sockeye in water too hot to make it upstream. I wonder how long will Bristol Bay salmon last before humans destroy them and their habitat? Will we allow greed to destroy everything? Will we allow a mine to destroy everything? This year we almost didn't come out fishing. We heard the voices of tribal organizations asking for the fishery to come to a halt. These villages are now filled with thousands of people who are spreading coronavirus to the same villages that are impacted, that are still impacted by the effects of a pandemic almost 100 years ago. It seemed as though those requests went unheard by the governor and the state, so we waited to hear from Pilot Point City and Tribal Council. After we got word that they wanted us to come out, we made our decision. We chartered a flight from Anchorage, so we didn't have to go in any airport, got tested before we left, quarantined for 2 weeks before we came and after we arrived, and are doing all we can to keep each other and local people safe. As I hear cases emerging every day in Dillingham and Naknek, I continue to worry about how COVID might impact these communities and Bristol Bay in the future. I also have concerns for processor workers stuck on a boat or in a cannery with seemingly little protection against the virus in an industry that has bad records as a whole of how their workers are treated. Are we as fishers looking out for those who make our livelihoods possible? We can't do this without processor workers. We can't do this without local peoples. We can't do this without indigenous peoples. We have a responsibility to look out for each other, help each other, stand up for each other when the time comes. That means respecting tribal sovereignty, listening to the voices of indigenous peoples of this land, protecting the environment, fighting against pebble mine, paying cannery workers fair wages, treating fisherwomen with respect, and so much more. I only hope that this is what our future looks like, a fishery that is built on community, a community of locals and non-locals, men and women, native and non-native, young and old, coming together in support and collected solidarity for each other and for the salmon and the lifestyle that we all love.
That was today's testimony from 2 Minutes a Day in the Bay. That came from fisherwoman Maya Nishkin, who set nets out of Pilot Point. And just a quick note, as of this broadcast, there has been no community spread of COVID-19 in Bristol Bay.
Support for KDLG's fisheries coverage comes from OBI Seafoods, proud to partner with the fishermen and communities of Bristol Bay.
Guess who's back again.
Fish.
That is all for the fish report today, folks. We're going to take a look at the marine weather forecast, and we have a message to the fleet. In Bristol Bay, we have a west wind tonight at 20 knots, seas at 3 feet, patchy fog. On Tuesday, west wind, 20 knots, seas at 3 feet and patchy fog. And Tuesday night through Wednesday night, a west wind, 20 knots and seas at 4 feet. In the marine weather forecast from Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, a variable wind at 10 knots tonight, seas at 2 feet and patchy fog. Tuesday and Tuesday night, a west wind at 15 knots, seas at 3 feet and patchy fog. In the tidal forecast at Nooshigak at Clark's Point, low tide at 9:57 p.m. at 0.4 feet, and high tide at 4:32 a.m. at 20.5 feet. At the Naknek River entrance, low tide at 10:14 p.m. at negative 1 foot, and high tide at 5 o'clock a.m. at 22.3 feet. And at the Agagic River entrance, low tide at 8:35 p.m. at negative 1.2 feet, and high tide at 3:49 a.m. at 17.5 feet. In messages to the fleet, this one goes out to the Joan L. crew. Hope y'all are having a really great season. A special shout out to one man in particular. He's one of the most talented humans to ever exist. A man who left Seattle as one of my very best friends for the better part of a decade and returning as my boyfriend. Mr. Aaron Daniel, I love you so much and I'm looking forward to seeing you again. Your family sends their love to the entire crew. Rachel said, be safe and tell Bird Dog to wear his lucky sweater. Your mom says, mama love and can't wait to hear about your fishing season. From Miss Roxy, I miss you and I love you and I hope to see you soon. Your dad, keep it out of the water when you pee. And lastly, Caden with, We love you guys. Love, Sheila. That is all for the Fish Report. Thanks for listening and see you back here tomorrow.